Boy, oh boy, I'm glad you're here. Let's get the obvious out of the way. That moderator from the train wreck of a debate earlier this week, he sure seemed like a peach, like someone you want to hang out with on a Saturday night, huh?
Right. What a disgrace, right? He didn't do what Hoosiers deserved. Hoosiers deserved a discussion with all of us candidates about the issues, and he was there about himself. It was dishonorable, and I have no idea how anybody like him got put in that position.
Yeah, you and me both. We've actually reached out to the Indiana Debate Commission, because I definitely want some answers into that. I've never seen or experienced such an unprofessional moderator in any of the debates that I've ever watched or been a part of. I was just utterly, like you said, disappointed. Hoosiers deserved better. But let me tell you what, Jamie, you impressed the heck out of me with your debate performance, despite that unprofessional moderator. And I'm actually really hard to impress. But you didn't let that moderator bully you. You pushed back. You interjected your opinions several times. It's just a shame that y'all had to spend so much time debating with him instead of really getting to debate each other and debate the issues. And I will be honest, because he was such a terrible moderator, I was left wondering a lot of things, not only about you, but really about all five of you there up on the debate stage. But particularly when it comes to you, Jamie, one thing that I wanted to retouch on was the state income tax. That was brought up actually quite a bit by a lot of you candidates. But because it was all such a hubbub, I wanted to circle back to this topic of eliminating the income tax with you, because that was brought up as well. And my question to you, Jamie, is it actually realistic? Is it on your radar to eliminate the income tax? And if so, I mean, how do you do that without hurting other services?
Well, Kayla, that's the whole point. It doesn't look realistic. And the reason why we say it doesn't look realistic is because right now, the state legislator has slowly been chipping away at the income tax. And when I look at the income tax situation, I look at, okay, is that what Hoosiers are wanting? Because they've been slowly chipping away at the income tax the entire time. That's not what we're hearing on the ground. Suzanne has not put out a plan for that. She won't put out a plan for that. What we hear on the ground is that people are struggling with property tax.
Yeah.
So that's the conversation that we've really been pouring into. And again, you point out something that's very, I think, important for the state of Indiana. And I don't think the other candidates get this at all. Curtis doesn't get this. They have not gone all around the state of Indiana to know Indiana. They rely on their careers, their career politicians. I've actually spent 2.5 years away from my family on the ground getting to know the state of Indiana. And here's the thing. Indiana is not a one-size-fits-all. She's a beautiful state, but she's not a one-size-fits-all. And so when you approach her from your perspective instead of from her perspective, you're going to make mistakes. What she needs right now is the property tax issue solved. And what we have said is on May 8th, we're going to be on the ground. We're going to meet with all the counties, county commissioners, town halls, townships. We're going to have this conversation because property taxes is something that affects so many people in the state of Indiana. We've got fixed income that are the elderly. We've got people that are moving here. We want to attract families to the state of Indiana.
That conversation needs to start on the county level, Jamie. You're definitely right about that. And I feel like that point, you're right, was also missing during the debate earlier this week. The other part where I got a little lost was on the state's topic of abortion. First of all, you all were asked a really weedy question about essentially women having the right to an abortion to avoid injury or death. I'm telling you, it was the most bizarre question, I think, of the whole night. It was weird. And when it got to you, you started to talk about the Dobbs decision, you know, returning abortion rights back to individual states. But then the moderator cut you off and he went on to asking about IVF. Again, it was just really weird. But eventually you did start talking about being pro-life. But then he also started talking about exceptions. And I couldn't tell quite what you meant there, Jamie. So I'm hoping for some clarification this morning. Are you for life from beginning to end?
I am for life at conception. And the reason why he wanted to cut me off is because I know exactly what they're doing. Because I have been on the ground, I know that Jennifer McCormick has a plan as a Democrat candidate. And she is trying to pit all of us with this life question. It's a national question right now that's going on in conservative circles. I am for life at conception. But more importantly, where were all the other candidates when they were debating SB1? I was the one that was at the state house. I wasn't just there on Tuesday when all the pro-life support showed up. I was there on Monday to take the debate into the fire. And in fact, Jennifer McCormick has invited all of the candidates to go to a town hall debate about reproductive rights. April 29th is the last day that you can meet. And I want Jennifer to know on your show this morning that I accept her invitation. I will be there in Maryville on April 29th. She can take my name off the chair. I am more than happy to have a conversation with her about life. I am the most pro-life candidate. And the reason is because I know where to have the conversation. You don't have the conversation in the midst of circumstance. You have the conversation about conception, because God is the creator of life. And the problem that we're seeing right now is our nation is starting to go down this path where we are taking the life conversation and throwing it to the side and trying to make it all about exceptions. That's not what we're talking about here, people. We are talking about a philosophy on how our nation should go. When you have a policy about life, all of your other policies reflect that. Jennifer McCormick and all of the people that want to make exceptions, their policies are the exact same way. They do not care about the individual people of the state of Indiana. I do care, and my policies reflect that. So, yes, I do think that he was trying to make a commercial out of us. I wasn't going to fall for that, but I am more than ready to have the conversation about life at conception.
So let me ask you this then. How would you ensure the state's abortion ban is actually enacted? Because something I've been hearing about a lot, it's quite alarming actually, is that the health department isn't actually releasing, you know, terminated pregnancy reports, whatever they want to call them, you know. So, I mean, we need to be able to obviously enforce the ban. How would you propose doing that?
Kayla, everything's about transparency. With government, you've got to put everything into the light. I have told everybody from day one, on every single Tuesday of my administration, we will be meeting with the Hoosiers. Press will be there, local press in the front, national press in the back. We will be reporting on the General Assembly and on my administration. We will report on what bills get into committee. We will report on what bills don't get in committee, and we will be dropping names. When it comes to this specific issue, the governor of the state of Indiana should have come out and said, they're not giving you the transparency you're supposed to have. That's no problem. I'll take care of that. We'll get the reports to you right away. That is exactly who we are meant to be as governors. We are leaders. The reason why this state is failing and going in a direction it should not be going in is because it has leaders that have no vision. That's what people need to talk about when it comes to Curtis Hill and all of the other leaders. What are they actually saying they're going to do for you? I have come out with an education platform that is about the people of the state of Indiana, and I have approached every single issue with a plan. I know that transparency is what the Hoosiers need. The power is the safest in the hands of the people. And as a Christian who loves Jesus, I say if the people turn to the Lord, our nation will experience revival. I am a person that honors our Constitution. I have two parents that have served in the military. I am ready to work for the state of Indiana. I was called in. I have spent the time working for 2.5 years at pennies on the dollar of what they're raising, and my campaign is still rivaling them. It is time for the people of the state of Indiana to tell 12 people to tell 12 people and get the work done.
Really quick, Jamie, because we're way up against the clock here, running out of time. You just said, I know you're a conservative. I know you're a Christian. I know you're a mom, I believe, of five. But a lot of my listeners, at least, have some concerns about your lack of experience, at least when it comes to politics and governing, if you will. What would be your response to them?
Oh, I love that. That's a great question for people to ask. And so here's what I would tell people. How is everybody that has all the political experience doing for you in your country right now? Our Constitution was made the way it was for this very purpose, so that people that are everyday people that have worked, that know how to lead, that know how to govern. At 26 years old, I was put over the second largest mortgage broker company in the state of California. I was given a call that night, the night before I was put in charge. The owner simply said, tomorrow you're taking over half my company. Tell me who I should put on the other side. He did that because I know how to lead and I know how to govern. I was over 1,500 loan officers with four departments. I know how to lead a company to succeed. I was the one that was protecting the broker's license. I'm going to be the one that protects the interests of Hoosiers and the state of Indiana. People need to ask themselves the question. If you want politicians, they're lined up for you. But how has that been working for you? We need to stop electing people that are the elite and do what Michelle Bachmann told me one time when she shook my hand. She said, so you're going to be the governor of the state of Indiana. I said, yes, I am. And she said, when you get in there, just do the next right thing. That is what people need to be electing, people that have the experience of leading and people that know how to do the next right thing.
Well, Jamie, I loved hearing from you. Like I said, you impressed the heck out of me. So from one mom to another, I thought you represented us conservative warrior moms well up there on the debate stage. So best of luck to you come May 7th.
Thank you, Kayla.
And that is Jamie Rittenhauer, one of your GOP candidates vying to be your next governor here of Indiana.
Podcasts by Federated Media.